Okay, we're at our last lesson of this Netcaster Soul Winning course. And, we have more than two guests. I just saw another guest with us. Last week, if you remember, at the end of our lesson, I mentioned that, you know, because we have known of these three truths, and then the final truth, the third truth, said that Jesus has already died for our sin. But does that mean that everybody is okay? Does that mean that we are safe and sound and on our way to heaven? No, of course not. Because the truth demands a decision. So the three truths that we have gotten to know and that you have presented to your prospect demands a decision from that person. And even at the beginning of this course, I already mentioned that there are three truths that you need to understand and agree, and then one decision that you have to make. So we've gone through the three decisions, the three truths, and then now we come to the one decision that must be made. And what is that decision? That decision is the decision of, we will come to that later, but let me review. What is truth number one?
The penalty.
Penalty. Good. Penalty of sin. So we all have this problem of sin. Oh, sorry, I said that out already. No, it's a problem of sin.
Yeah,
alright? And because you have this problem of sin, it brings
punishment.
David gave the answer just now. Penalty. Penalty. Alright? So we deserve to be judged for our sin, but someone has done something for us already.
Payment,
yes. So, problem of sin, penalty of sin, and payment of sin, or rather penalty for sin. And then, now we come to truth number four, which is a decision of faith, repentance. Faith, repentance. I'll talk more about faith in this lesson. But basically, it's a, have you heard of it? Two sides of a coin. Two sides of a coin. Faith, repentance. Meaning to say, you need to have faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you need to repent, turn away from what you have been depending on. Maybe yourself, maybe another God, or whoever. And also to turn away from your sin. So both need to go together. So that's why we call it the two sides of a coin. And to start off this decision, this presentation of the decision of faith, repentance, we would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 11, where Paul says, "So we preach, and so ye believed." The key word here is believed. Believe. And that is a word that I will dwell on almost throughout the whole lesson today. The word believe describes a decision. It describes the decision. But first of all, who can make this decision? Is it only like what some group says, for certain skin color only, certain nationality only? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So this offer of a decision is for, it's universal. This offer is universal, as according to Romans 10:13. Whosoever includes everyone. Alright, so for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, saved from what? Remember last week, I talked about three things. Saved from sin, death, hell. Right? Saved from sin, death, and hell. Okay? So, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So the question is asked, what does it mean to call upon? the name of the Lord. And that brings us to the next point, the meaning which is of dependence, of changing of one's mind. Changing of one's mind. And we go to Romans 10:14, which is just the next verse after Romans 10:13. How then, as Paul says, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, Paul is answering his own question. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So Paul is explaining here that to call upon the name of the Lord means to believe in him. But then comes the next question. What is believing? What does it mean to believe? Now, to believe is not simply an acknowledgement of God. Like a lot of people say, when you ask them, are you 100% sure that if you were to die right now, you're on your way to heaven? Oh yes, I'm sure. Why? Because I believe in God. Just like that. I believe in God. Or I believe in Jesus Christ. As simple as that. No. Belief is not simply an acknowledgement of God. Alright? Or I believe so. Does this train take you to Braddell MRT station? Oh, I believe so. You know, we use the word believe so commonly. And what does that mean? It means I understand it to be so. I agree to be so. But that belief is not what Paul is saying here of salvation. Alright? It is more than that. I will explain in a moment. So it is commonly used to mean that you understand something to be so and you agree it to be so. For example, I believe there is a God. Does that save you? No, not enough. I believe Jesus is God. Does that save you? No, not enough. Alright? So many things you can believe. And there are two kinds of faith actually. One of them is called common faith. The next point, common faith. And normally we will go to James 2:19 to explain to that person that a simple agreement and understanding is not enough. In James 2:19, James say, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, but not enough. Why? For the devils also believe, and they are on their way to heaven. No, they tremble. They tremble. Why do they tremble? Because they know that they will be judged. They believe. They know. You know, in the New Testament, we read so often about someone possessed by the demon, by the devils, and then when they saw Jesus Christ, straight away, the devil acknowledge, understand, agree that you, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. Are they safe? Are they fine? No. They tremble. They tremble. Alright? So, that understanding and agreement is not enough. Just for example, if you talk to someone who believes in Jesus Christ as well as many other gods, is he on his way to heaven? No. He understands, he agrees, he thinks that Jesus is God, a God. Is he on his way to heaven? No. So, common faith is not enough. The word belief actually means more. It means trust. It means a dependence on. Alright? On the object. That's why we will always talk about the object of faith. Alright? So what are you depending on? What are you trusting in? Let's look at three angles of this kind of believing, which is saving faith. Saving faith. Saving faith and common faith are similar in that it needs the element of understanding and the element of agreeing. So first of all, to understand that the person, the prospect, to understand that you have sin, the problem of sin, and deserve judgment of hell, the penalty for sin. But also understand that Jesus has paid his penalty through his death, burial, and resurrection. Right, the payment of sin. That is the understanding part. Make sure that the person understands. And then secondly, he needs to agree. No point understanding but don't agree. No point understanding but say, but. Okay? So he needs to understand and he needs to agree. And then the third thing, which is what common faith does not have, and that is to depend. To depend on what? To depend on Jesus as his savior from sin, death, and hell. To depend, to have that saving faith, actually goes beyond the intellectual understanding and the emotional agreement to a volitional choice to depend on. Remember some lessons back, I talked about the saying that some people miss salvation by a foot, right? Because they have that intellectual understanding, even that emotional agreement, but they never make that decision. They miss by one foot from the brain to the heart. All right. So what a person needs to do to make that decision of faith, repentance, in order to be truly saved, is to understand, agree, and then depend on Jesus Christ. And actually, it is a transfer of dependence. That's where repentance come in. A transfer of dependence. For example, he could have been depending on himself, his good works, for salvation. He could have been depending on the fact that he is born in a Christian family. He could be depending on his other gods. So what he needs to do is to transfer his dependence, the third point, dependence, from anything to Jesus Christ, and only to Jesus Christ alone to save him from sin, death, and hell. That means he makes a decision. He makes a decision to depend only on Jesus Christ. Now, this may not be easy to explain, may not be easy to for the person to comprehend, because like I said, we use the word believe so commonly, and when we say I believe, so we are not really depending so much on it, right? So some illustration might be helpful here. And in Netcaster, I learned of this illustration of this person. His nickname is Blondin. He's a French. He started, I'm not sure if I pronounce it correctly, French way. He started tightrope walking at the age of 5. He took after his father, and he started practicing using his father's fishing rod, and started his first performance at the age of 5. And he became real famous when he tried to walk across the Niagara Falls. And this is a real story. Real story. You can Google. Okay, you can Google for it. And the story was told that he set up the rope and everything, and he did a lot of walk here and there, to and fro. And then finally, he came up with this idea to push a wheelbarrow across. And before he did it, he tried to, you know, arouse some cheer, and then he said, "Do you believe that I can do it?" And then the crowd cheered, "Yes, Blondin, you can, yes." And "Do you believe that I can go to the other side and come back?" "Yes, you can do it." And he did it. He did it one time, to and fro. And then he tried to do something more. He said, "Do you believe that I can carry somebody on in the wheelbarrow and move and walk across?" And they said, we believe you can do it." And the story that I read was that he looked at somebody that was in the crowd and said, "You, come in." And that person stood up and ran. Okay. The other story that I heard of, which is the same, it brings across the explanation of belief, what true belief is. When he said, "Do you believe that I can put somebody inside a wheelbarrow and walk across?" And they said, "Yes, yes." And then he asked, "Well, is there anyone?" "Nobody." Okay. So what does this illustration tell us? It tells us that you might understand, you might agree, but are you depending? Are you depending? On that day, nobody dare to depend on Blondin. Are you depending on Jesus Christ? When Jesus said, I can bring you to heaven, I can allow your sins to be forgiven and bring you to heaven when you die, are you going to come into my wheelbarrow? Are you depending? Another illustration which I learned in the other program, Continuing Witnessing Training, is what you all are doing right now. Sitting on a chair. It's called a chair illustration. It's much simpler but not as interesting. What you can say is, when your prospect is seated on a chair, you can say that when you came inside the room, when you came into the room and then you sat on the chair, did you check the chair? Did you check if the chair has four legs and all the screws are intact and the seat is proper and everything? No, you just came in and sat on it. Why? You believe. You are depending on the chair to be able to support you. So likewise, to depend on Jesus Christ is also that you are, to believe Jesus Christ is also that you are depending on Him to support you, to bring you to heaven. It's the same illustration to show that belief means to depend. To believe in Christ means to depend. I find this to be very useful because a lot of time it's really hard to explain what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He is a God, believe that He is a Son of God, believe that He died on the cross, believe all this. More than that, to depend. And it also means try to explain as much as you can, especially if that person is of another religion at that point in time. You need to tell him that you need to cut off all other dependence. You cannot. I mean, who sits on two chairs? I mean, one on Buddha, one on Jesus Christ. No, is that what you're trying to do? Or maybe four chairs, Allah and whoever else. You know, you need to tell him, no, that won't work. Because you need to depend on Jesus Christ alone. The key word is alone, just one chair. Just one chair will do. Okay? So if you can explain properly that, we will come to the promise of salvation. And this is just to reiterate to the person the three great and precious promises of the decision of faith repentance. That if he were to make this decision, he will receive, number one, the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. As according to Acts chapter 10 verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. And also credited righteousness. Remember the illustration that I gave last week, the debt credit illustration, alright? Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then thirdly, eternal life, the promise of eternal life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. One good thing to say here is to ask that person, how long is everlasting life? Forever, right? Everlasting life means forever. It is forever. It can never be lost. Once you have it, you do not have to keep asking for it. Okay. After all the three truths and the decision of faith, repentance, one last point, and that is to bring across to that person that there is a necessity to make this decision. It is mandatory, compulsory. Why? Because John 3:18 tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Right? But unfortunately, we are all born not believing on him. But he that believeth not is condemned already. So that person, that prospect that you're reaching out to is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he needs, he must make a decision. A decision must be made. Alright? If he believes, he will have his sins forgiven, he will have Christ's righteousness credited on him, and he will receive eternal life. But if he doesn't, he is still on his way to hell. Okay? So, we have finished three truths and one decision. Three truths and one decision. So what is next? Next is the most, is the most critical part. Imagine you are a salesman. You come to the doorstep, you try to promote this thing, this vacuum cleaner that can clean wet, clean dry, clean dog hair, clean everything. Then after that person is so interested, so keen, he took out his wallet, was ready to pay you, and then he says it's not, and then you tell him it's not for sale. It's not for sale, I'm off. I'm going off. Right? That is something that you must never do if you try to reach out with the gospel. You can't walk away just like that. You need to call for a decision. That is phase three, calling for a decision. And what I suggest here are some questions which you might use. These are very useful because sometimes you might, I don't know about you, but I've encountered a situation whereby after you present the three truths and the one decision, you are kind of stuck. You are either you are a bit paiseh, you're a bit, you're just stuck. You don't know how to carry on. You don't know how to bring that person, and that person might be also still thinking through. You know, he has so many things in his head right now, right? So what you need to try to do is to invite him to make a decision. Is to help him to make a decision in a unthreatening way, as he transits from being a prospect to someone that is saved. So these are some questions that you can ask in your notes, the other sheet that I hope you got. As a transition, you can say to that person, you know, since all this that I presented to you, the three truths and the decision, this determines eternal life either with Christ in heaven or eternal death in hell. Would it be all right if we bow our heads now and I lead us in prayer? Now, this is not a prayer of salvation yet. No, not yet. All right? So, lead him in prayer, step number one. And what is this prayer about? This prayer is to ask God, is to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work in this person that he understands, agree, and would be willing to depend on Jesus Christ. Alright? So, it is like a bit of a calm that person down, help him to piece his thoughts together properly. So lead him in prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to help him, and after you're done with that, confront him with the decision. Ask him these three simple questions. Do you believe that Jesus wants to save you from sin, death and hell? Hopefully the answer is yes. Next question: do you believe that Jesus would save you from sin and hell if you ask him to? You're trying to direct the decision to him, right? He makes the choice, he makes the decision. And third question: since the Lord Jesus is willing to save you from sin and hell, are you willing to depend on him to do so right now? That is the invitation. That is the invitation for him to make that decision. You're not trying to be pushy. You're not just giving him a 3x5 card and say, pray this, and then you're done. No, you're trying to help him to make sure he understands, to to make sure he make his own decision. So help him. So you may pray with him. You may pray, not pray for him. You may pray with him. You may say something like, can I pray with you again? You know, to help you review what you have just learned, that you are a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, but Christ has paid for your sin, and that you would like to transfer his dependence on Christ. And then let him pray. Let him pray. The final part is just as important. Right? The final part is some questions to make sure you have done a proper job. He has understood correctly. Ask him these questions. Did you just now, assuming that he has already prayed, he has answered yes, Jesus wants to save him, yes, Jesus would be willing to save him, and yes, he would ask Jesus to save him, and he did. He just did. Ask him, did you just now, in the best way that you know how, transfer your dependence to Christ alone to save you from sin and hell? If he said yes, then you ask him, if you were to die right now, where would you go? Alright, bearing in mind, half an hour ago, he said hell. So if he understood everything, and if he had transferred his dependence on Christ, his answer now should be heaven. If he still say, I don't know, then sorry, you got to go back again. Or maybe ask him, why are you not sure? Why do you not know? Okay? See what he says. If he said heaven, then you ask him the third question. If you die 5 years from now, where will you go? Remember, everlasting life. It should be everlasting. If he said, I don't know, then you need to review. The final question. If you had died yesterday, before we talk about all this, before you make a decision, where would you have gone? He should say hell, right? So make sure all these questions, you get a correct answer. Make sure you know what the correct answer is, right? And basically, what you're trying to do is to make sure that a person has a proper understanding, agreement of what the gospel is. And like I said in the beginning of this series, you may not have the chance to even share the whole thing with that person. But to me, the benefit of this Netcaster Soul Winning course is that there are a lot of nuggets of truth. You know, a lot of nuggets of truth that you can use individually. You can use a few pieces for this scenario, a few pieces for another scenario. And because they are biblical truth, they can counter different kinds and all kinds of questions. Right? So that's why I hope you can keep the notes, you can keep the verses. You may not use it as a whole package, but they certainly will be useful in whatever situation that you come across as you try to share the gospel. Right? So hopefully this course has been useful to you and that you have benefited from it. Right? Let's